السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. الحمد لله, we're on the 67th part of the series of خاتم النبيين, سيرة of خاتم النبيين صلى الله عليه وسلم. And we've been talking about the Battle of Badr. This is the 8th part of the Battle of Badr, inshallah ta'ala. And we'll be talking about the Shuhada of Badr, inshallah, the martyrs of Badr today, inshallah. So just a quick review, inshallah, and then we'll continue. So we had, last week, we talked about the help of the Nusra of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Battle of Badr. So the malaika that were sent, the different miracles that happened. For example, there was a sahabi who broke his sword in the battle, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam handed him a branch of a date palm tree. And that that branch turned into a sword. Which sahabi was that? Do you remember what's the name of the sahabi? Those who were here last week. And he's also the one who, the Prophet, when he was talking about the 70,000 people who will enter Jannah without hisab, and he asked the Prophet, make dua that I'm one of them. And the Prophet gave him, made dua for him and gave him bashra, gave him glad tidings that he is one of those people of who will go to Jannah without hisab. He's Ukasha. Ukasha ibn Mihsan, radiallahu anhu. Okay? So that was just one of the miracles that happened. Again, like the malaika were sent down from the skies. And for example, in Surah Al-Anfal, ayah number 12, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim, bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, idh yuhi rabbuka ila al-malaika, anni ma'akum fathabbitu alladhina amanu, sa'ulqi fi qulubi alladhina kafaru ar-ru'b. فَضْرِبُوا فَوْقَ الْأَعْنَاقِ وَضْرِبُوا مِنْهُمْ كُلَّ بَنَانِ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructing the angels that make the hearts of the believers firm and help them. And I will place in the hearts of the kuffar, of the enemy, a ru'b. I'll put fear in their hearts. فَضْرِبُوا فَوْقَ الْأَعْنَاقِ. So the anaq is the neck, and the angels were ordered to hit the kuffar on the necks, وَضْرِبُ مِنْهُمْ كُلَّ بَنَانِ, and hit their fingers, the fingertips or fingers, so they won't be able to hold on to their weapons. So we talked about that last week. Also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Imran, this is a few ayat, but the last one of them, وَمَا جَعَلَ, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the first, I think it's Surah Al-Anfal also, that 1,000 angels will be sent in Badr. And then the Prophet, when he's telling the Sahaba, so through Wahi, he was instructed that 3,000 will be sent. And as he was instructing them, telling them 3,000, Allah promised even more, which 5,000 were sent. So 5,000 angels were sent in Badr. And Allah, talking about this in the Quran, he says, وَمَا جَعَلَهُ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بُشْرَى لَكُمْ وَلِتَطْمَئِنَّ قُلُوبُكُمْ. That I made this, I did not do this. Meaning the angels were not sent except for as a bushra, as glad tidings for you. وَلِتَطْمَئِنَّ قُلُوبُكُمْ بِهِ. So that your hearts will become strengthened, you become encouraged, inshallah ta'ala. وَمَن نَصْرُ إِلَّا مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ. And the help is not except with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-Aziz al-Hakim. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down 5,000 angels. And like we talked about, numbers of Muslims does not matter. What matters is the iman and yaqeen in the heart and the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's pleasure, if you have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help with you, it doesn't matter if it's one against a million, the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will overcome anything. And like in the Battle of Badr, the angels were sent down and 5,000 were sent. And we know that just one angel would have sufficed. For example, Jibreel alayhi salam, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about Qawm Lut alayhi salam, the whole city was, the entire city was lifted on the tip of the wing of Jibreel alayhi salam. The tip of his wing, he lifted the whole city up to the heavens, flipped it over and threw him down. So just imagine the strength of one angel. 5,000 angels were sent to help the Muslims on that day. Also, we talked about how the enemy, for example, Abdullah ibn Abbas, he would mention this. This is in Sahih Muslim, that a Muslim would be running after one of the kuffar and chasing him. And before he even is about to hit the man, and he would hear سَمِعَ ضَرْبَةً بِالصَّوْتِ. He would hear the sound of a whip, a sound of a lash. And then he would say, that person would fall down dead in front of me. The person would fall down dead in front of me. And he said that the person would go and look at the body. He looked at the body, see what's going on. I didn't hit this guy. Who hit him? What happened? And he says that he also heard the sawt al-faris. He heard someone riding a horse. And he heard the neighing of the horse. And the person, the angel is saying, Aqdim Hizum. That's the name. Hizum is the name of the horse. He says, basically, go forward and just go and attack. So this is the miracles that happen. And like I said, he would go and look at the body. فَنَظَرَ إِلَى الْمُشْرِكِ. He would go to look at that person. And he would say that the person's on the ground dead. And he would see that his nose is broken. It's like broken in half or cut in half. And he would say that وَشَقَّ وَجْهُ. And his face is ripped apart. Like a lash, like he was whipped in the face. So his face would be cut open, would be ripped open. And like a lash, like a whip would do. And he said that he was just amazed, like, how can that happen? And he went to the Prophet ﷺ and informed the Prophet ﷺ that this is what I saw. And the Prophet ﷺ says, Sadaqta, that you are speaking the truth. ذَلَكَ مِنْ مُدَدِ السَّمَاءِ الثَّالِثَةِ. These are from the angels of the third heaven who have come down. And they have helped. They are coming to help the Muslims. Another thing we talked about is the uncle of the Prophet ﷺ, who was captured in this battle. So we have different uncles of the Prophet ﷺ. For example, we have Abu Talib, who was who raised the Prophet ﷺ since a young age, and he took care of him, protected him, and he was the leader of Mecca, and he actually died in Mecca. So we talked about him, and we talked about his history. There was another of the uncle of the Prophet who was an enemy of Islam, and he did not even participate in Badr. Anybody remember who he was? Which of the uncles of the Prophet did not participate in Badr? I'm sorry? Abu Lahab. So Abu Lahab did not. He was afraid because his sister saw the dream, and he was afraid, so he sent someone in his stead. Also, Abbas radiallahu anhu, he was not Muslim at that time, but he also participated. He went participated in Badr, but he participated on the side of the mushrikeen because he was forced to come out. He didn't want to come out, and the other, the people from the tribe of Banu Hashim did not want to come out against their relative, the Prophet ﷺ, but they were forced to come out. So Abbas ﷺ was one of them, and he did not fight actually in the battle, but he was actually caught in the battle. And the rawaya comes where he was caught when a sahabi, one of the Rajul Qasir, it was a short man from the Ansar, had caught from the Badriyin, he had caught Abbas ﷺ, he brought him, and he says, Ya Rasulullah, I have caught Abbas. And Abbas says, no, he did not catch me. It was a man who was a very beautiful, handsome man. I never saw him ever before. And this man was bald. So that's also Bashara, I guess you could say, for people who are going bald. This angel was bald. And that is a style, yeah, we're going bald. So that is a style too, where people shave their heads. Allah Adam. But anyways, the thing is, the angel was bald, and he was very handsome. And Abbas said that was the one, he was the one who caught me, not this man. So, and then there's one more uncle who fought on the side of the Muslims. And who was that? Hamza radiallahu anhu. Okay, so these are four uncles of the Prophet ﷺ who were alive during the time of the Prophet ﷺ. And out of them, Hamza radiallahu anhu was the one who was on the side of the Muslims. Okay, so, one thing I wanted to clarify is that the Prophet ﷺ there was a arish made, Sa'd ibn Mu'adh, or Sa'd ibn Ubadah, one of them gave the opinion that we should make an arish, should make like a hut for you where the Prophet can command the army and he can rest, he can make dua, he can pray. And they made that for him. And one of the things I want to clarify, that doesn't mean that the Prophet was sitting in the hut while the Muslims were fighting. The Prophet was on the front lines. He was fighting alongside the Muslims. And Ali radiallahu anhu would say that when the onslaught of the enemy came, and when they would come in, a large number, they would come and attack us, we would kind of hide behind the Prophet ﷺ, because how brave the Prophet ﷺ would be in front fighting them. One thing also to note, the Prophet ﷺ did not kill anyone. He fought, he injured them, but he did not kill anyone. The only person who died at the hands of the Prophet ﷺ was in Battle of Uhud, and this was the brother of Umayyah bin Khalaf. I forgot his name, but the brother of Umayyah bin Khalaf. I'm sorry? Ubayy bin Khalaf. Ubayy bin Barakallahu Fik. So Ubayy bin Khalaf, he actually made this vow that he's going to kill the Prophet ﷺ, he's going to attack them. So when he attacked, the Prophet ﷺ hit him with a spear at him, and he basically just nicked him, a small little cut. And this man went running and he started screaming to the people that Muhammad has killed me. Muhammad has killed me. And the people looked at his injury and said that this is just a small scar, it's a little cut. He's barely bleeding. What are you talking about? He said, no, no, no. He said that he's going to kill me, and I know that he's going to kill me. And he actually died from that wound, I think a few days later or something. He died from that wound. So anyways, so the Prophet ﷺ was in the front lines fighting in the Battle of Badr. Now today, inshallah, like I said, we're going to talk about the martyrs of Badr. There are 14 martyrs of Badr, the Shuhada of Badr. And if you go to for Umrah, inshallah, you know, if you've probably gone before, go to the city of Badr. Now it's a huge city, it's schools and whatnot, they have everything. Over there, at the time of the Prophet ﷺ, it was just wells. It was famous for the well of Badr and small wells around the area. Now it's a whole city. So if you go there and you go to the Ma'arika, the place where the battlefield, where the battle took place, there is a sign. So just before you're going up to the graveyard of the Shahada, there's actually a sign that has all the names of the 14 martyrs. And then you go to the graveyard, and the graveyard is walled up. Now they put barbed wire, and they don't really guard it anymore. Before, they wouldn't even let cars go close. But now they had a wall there. Before, they put barbed wire, and now there's no one stopping you. So you can go and say salam to for the Ahlul Badr or the Shahada. So the 14 of the Badriyin that were Shaheed, you had six from the Muhajireen. So six from the people who made Hijrah, from the Meccans, basically Muslims from Mecca who did Hijrah. And you had eight from the Ansar. And the names from the Muhajireen, Ubaidah ibn Harith, radiallahu anhu. And I spoke about him. He was one of the three that started the Mubaraza, started the hand-to-hand duels, the one-on-one duels, and he was injured, and then later on he died from those wounds. This was a cousin of the Prophet ﷺ. Then you have Umayr ibn Abi Waqas, radiallahu anhu, and we'll talk about him shortly, inshallah. You had Dhu Shimalain ibn Abdi Amr. Then you have Aqil ibn al-Bukayr. You have Mihja' Mawla Umar ibn Khattab, radiallahu anhu. Safwan ibn Bayda. And then from the Ansar, so these are from the Muhajirin. Then from the Ansar, you have Sa'ad ibn Khaythama, Mubashir ibn Abdul Munzir, Yazid ibn Harith, Umayr ibn Hammam, Rafi' ibn al-Mu'alla, and Haritha ibn Suraqa, Auf ibn al-Harith, and Mu'awwad ibn al-Harith. These are two brothers. We'll talk about them shortly also. One of them we already talked about, Umayr ibn Hammam, radiallahu anhu. He was the one that when the Prophet said during the battle, the Prophet was encouraging the Muslims stand up and go and fight and basically go and aspire to be one of the people of Jannah, the vastness which is the vastness of the heavens and the earth. And Umayr ibn Hammam radhiyallahu is the one who says, Bakh in Bakh. He said words of joy, and then he went out and he was one of the people who was murdered. So I talked about him before already. So Harith ibn Suraqa. Harith ibn Suraqa radhiyallahu anhu, he's from the Ansar. And he was actually a young boy. He was there he had joined, and he was not there to fight. He was young, and he's actually one of the cousins of Anas ibn Malik, radiallahu anhu. So he was one of those who were there, but he was not there to fight. And he was actually during the battle, while the battle was taking place, when it first started, he was drinking from one of the ponds. So he was drinking water, and a stray arrow hit him, and he was killed. So he was one of the first shuhada. And Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, he narrates the hadith from, it's in Sahih Bukhari. He says that the mother of Harith radiallahu anhu comes to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is after the battle when they went back to when they went back to Medina Munawwara. And the mother, her name is Umm Rubay', Umm Rubay' bint al-Bara radiyallahu anha. She comes to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and she says, Ya Nabi Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ala tuhaddithuni an haritha wa kana qutila yawma badr wa asabu sahmun gharb. So this is just a side point, but yeah, he was killed by a stray arrow. So she comes to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she says, fa'in kana fil jannah, if he's from the people of Jannah, sabart, I will have sabr, I'll have patience. And I'll be basically shukr and patience that he is from the people of Jannah, inshallah. وَإِنْ كَانَ غَيْرَ ذَلِكَ. And if he's from outside of that, he's from other than that, meaning from not from the people of Jannah, اجْتَهَدْتُ عَلَيْهِ فِي الْبُكَى. Then I will cry upon him because he is not from the people of Jannah. So she's saying, basically tell me, is he from the people of Jannah or from the people of hellfire? And the Prophet ﷺ says, يَا أُمَّ حَارِثَ, O the mother of Haritha, إِنَّهَا جِنَانٌ فِي الْجَنَّةِ. That there's many jannas, there's many gardens in Jannah. وَإِنَّ ابْنَكِ أَصَابَ الْفِرْدَوْسَ الْعَلَى. And your son is in the highest part of Jannah, in the Firdaus al-A'la. So this is glad tidings that the Prophet ﷺ had given to the mother of Haritha radiallahu anhu. Also, another Sahabi by the name of Mihja' ibn Salih radiallahu anhu, he was actually the first Shaheed in Badr. And he is actually from the Muhajirin, and he is one of the first people to become Muslim, along with Ammar ibn Yasir radhiyallahu anhu, Bilal radhiyallahu anhu, Suhaib al-Rumi radhiyallahu anhu, all these sahaba, the early sahaba. He is one of the earliest. He was a former slave of Umar ibn Khattab radhiyallahu anhu, who had freed him. So he was also killed in the Battle of Badr. Another Sahabi, another Muhajir by the name of Umair ibn Abi Waqas radiallahu anhu. His brother is very famous. He's from the Ashra Mubashirin bil Jannah. Sa'ad ibn Abi Waqas. So Sa'ad ibn Abi Waqas, one of the ten who were promised Jannah. His younger brother Umair ibn Abi Waqas radiallahu anhu. He's one of the shuhada of Badr. And Sa'ad radiallahu anhu narrates the hadith. He says that on the day of Badr, he says that I saw when we're lining up and we're getting ready, you know, to go. This is either it was in Abu Inaba, the Bi'r Abu Inaba, or it could be later on. But the Umair ibn Abi Waqas was actually in the lines, but he was hiding himself. He was like, you know, trying to hide behind others. And his brother saw him doing that, so he says, "What's wrong with you? Ma laka ya akhi? What's wrong with you, O brother? Why are you know, hiding yourself like that?" So he says, "Inni akhafu an yarani ya Rasulullah. I fear that the Prophet ﷺ will see me, and he'll think that I'm too small to fight, so he'll send me back." And his fears came true when the Prophet ﷺ saw him. He saw that he was too young. He said, "No, you have to go back. You can't stay with us." And Umair ibn Abi Waqas started to cry. He started to cry, not because he was a small baby or anything like that, but he was crying because he wanted to join the Prophet ﷺ in battle. He wanted to go forth in battle. And again, he was in his young teenager, maybe like 14, 15 years old, or he was at the age where he could fight. But the thing was, because of his size, he looked very small and he was short. So he started to cry. The Prophet ﷺ changed his mind and says, "Okay, you can come with us. You can join us." And the Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas, he says that I tied my brother's sword. It was too, he was short. So if he would put it on, it would be dragging on the floor. So he tied it, either they put it on over his shoulder, he tied it like that. And he said that he would be dragging it basically when he was going. That's how short he was and how small he was. And the Sa'd he was 16 years old. So he mentions that he was 16 years old, but because of his size, he looked smaller, and that's why he was fearing that he's going to be sent back. And he was killed by a man by the name of Amr ibn Abd Wud. Anybody know who that is? He's famous for, his name comes later in the Battle of Khandaq.
He's the one who fought Ali
Radhan. Barakallahu Fik. Ali Radhan killed him in the Battle of Khandaq. He was one of the giants of the Makkans, of the Quraysh. And the kuffar, and he jumped over the Khandaq, the trench, and he was the one who killed by Ali radhiyallahu anhu in the Battle of Khandaq. So he was the one who killed Umair ibn Abi Waqas radhiyallahu anhu. Also the sons of Afra bint Ubaid radiallahu anha. So Afra ibn bint Ubaid radiallahu anha, she's one of the Ansar, and she had seven sons. All seven of them were Badriyin. All seven of them joined in the battle of Badr. And their names are Mu'adh, Mu'awwadh, and Auf ibn Harith. So these are three from the sons of Harith. So basically what happened was she was married to Harith. She had two sons, Mu'adh and Mu'awwadh. And then for some reason he divorced her. And then she married Al-Bukayr. She married another man from Mecca named Al-Bukayr. And she had four sons from him, Aqil, Iyas, Amir, and Khalid. So these four from Al-Bukayr. And then either the husband, I think he passed away, or he passed away. And then she was remarried to her first husband, Harith. And then they had another child named Auf. So she had seven sons. Three of them were martyred in the Battle of Badr. Three of her seven sons were martyred in the Battle of Badr. And these were Mu'awwadh ibn Harith, Aqil ibn Bukayr, and Auf ibn Harith. And I spoke about the Abdurrahman ibn Auf radiallahu anhu, when he was lining up for the battle. And he said, I saw on my two sides these young men. And I thought that they're too weak to defend me or help me. So, and they were the ones who actually went out. I talked about that in detail. They were the ones who asked where Abu Jahl was. And they were the ones who killed Abu Jahl. And that was Mu'awwadh and Mu'adh ibn Afra. So the two brothers, the sons of Afra radiallahu anha, they're the ones who killed Abu Jahl. And one of them, Mu'awwadh, after they had killed Abu Jahl, or injured him until he was basically dying, he went on to fight, and he was actually shaheed in that same battle. So Mu'awwadh ibn Harith, radiallahu anhu. Now, another two, so Yazid ibn Harith, this is another Harith, not the same, but Yazid ibn Harith, he's well known as Ibn Fusham. Fusham meaning from his mother. His mother's name was Fusham. So he was Yazid ibn Harith radiallahu anhu. And his brother in, when the Prophet ﷺ, when the Sahaba made Hijrah to Medina Munawwara, he made the Mu'akhat. He made the brotherhood between the Muhajireen and the Ansar. So the Shimalin radiallahu anhu came from Mecca, made Hijrah from Muhajir. And Yazid ibn Harith radiallahu anhu was from the people of Ansar. So they were made brothers after the Hijrah. And both of them were shaheed in the Battle of Badr. Now, the people of the Battle of Badr, we talked about, and I mentioned this already, the station of the people of the Badr, of who fought in Badr. For example, the hadith where Rafi ibn Khadij radiallahu anhu, he says, Ja'a Jibreel alayhi salatu salam, Jibreel alayhi salatu salam, or another angel came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, ma ta'udduna man shahida badran feekum, that what do you think, or what do you guys say about the people of Badr from amongst the Sahaba? Qalu khiyarun, qala, so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, khiyaruna, they are the best amongst us, they are the best from us. Qala kathalika hum indana khiyarul malaika, so that the best of the malaika in station are the ones who came down in the Battle of Badr. So this shows that, one of the fadail of the people of Badr. Also, another thing the ulama talk about is the forgiveness of sins of the people of Badr. And this is a famous incident, inshallah. Hopefully, inshallah, we get to that someday. But Fath Mecca, before the Fath Mecca, the conquest of Mecca, there was a sahabi by the name of Hatib ibn Abi Balta'ah radiallahu anhu, and he had sent a letter to the kuffar telling them that the Prophet ﷺ is coming to take over, coming to Mecca with a large army. And this is actually treason. This is treason, right? So a person who does that would actually be killed. And Umar radhiallahu anhu, they called Hatib radhiallahu anhu, and the Prophet asked him what happened, he admitted it. He said that I did this. And Umar radhiallahu anhu says that, allow me to cut off the head of this munafiq. That this is a munafiq, how dare he do this? This is treason. Let me kill him. Let me cut off his head. And the Prophet ﷺ said, إِنَّهُ قَدْ شَهِدَ بَدْرٌ, that he is from the people of Badr. And the Prophet ﷺ goes on to say, وَمَا يُدْرِيكَ لَعَلَّ اللَّهَ اِطَّلَعَ عَلَىٰ أَهْلِ بَدْرٍ فَقَالَ اِعْمَلُوا مَا شِئْتُمْ فَقَدْ غَفَرْتُ لَكُمْ فَأَنزَلَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تتخذوا عدوي وعدوكم أولياء وليس to the end. So this is basically Hatib ibn Abi Balta'a radiallahu anh. He admitted to it, and then the Prophet says to Umar radiallahu anh that he is from the people of Badr. And what do you know that how you know that Allah that why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that he looking upon the people of Badr, and he says "I'malu ma shi'tum," that go and do whatever you wish, go and do whatever you wish. Faqad ghafartu lakum, that I have forgiven you. Now that doesn't mean that they're allowed to go and, you know, go and do whatever sin you want. But what this means, the ulama explained, that this means they will have tawfiq from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if they even, so they have tawfiq from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are guided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to do good. And they will have a good ending. But if they even do a sin, like Hatib Radan, this was a major sin, this is treason that he did, they will do tawbah. They will have the tawfiq to do tawbah, and they will have a good ending. So that was one of the things of the Ahlul Badr. And this teaches us that, you know, we need to, and I'll end with this inshallah, that when we have good deeds, we should try to find good deeds that we do, that inshallah ta'ala will be like storage, or you could say like a in our bank accounts for later on, for us, you know, God forbid, or Allah protect us inshallah, that if we do any sins in the future, because of the deeds that we've done in the past, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will overlook and forgive those sins. And there's a famous hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam talks about the shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day la dhilla illa dhillu, that the day of judgment, when there is no shade except the shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and there will be a person, the people, the group, category of people outside the seven. So we have seven main categories that are mentioned in the hadith. And there's another one, and there are others, but one of them is a person who, for example, if people owe them money, he gave out loans, and the person is having difficulty paying back the loan, the person gives them time to pay it back, or forgives it altogether. So that is one of the people who will be under the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment. And there's a hadith, famous hadith, where a person will come from the previous ummah, and this person will come and stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask him, what did you do? What good deeds did you do? And he says, la shay, I didn't do anything. And this means not that he didn't do any good deeds, but he did very few good deeds. And he'll say that I did not do anything except that I would give out loans to people, and I would send my slave to go and collect the loans. If they had difficulty, then I would say that give them time. That basically, or you erase the debt, or give them time to give back the debt. And I said to my slave that if I overlook this and give them time, then maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment will overlook my sins. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to him that you have been forgiven because of this. And there was a man from this ummah, Muhammad al-Hamdani rahimahullah. He was one of the people from the previous generations of the Muslims, that he was famous for his words. He would say, al-madi la yudhkar, that the past is not mentioned. And what he would do, basically, he would give out loans to people. And when he would go to collect them, if they had problems, he would see that they were generally in need and they weren't able to pay back. He would say to him, he would cross it out from his book, and he would say, al-madi la yudhkar, that don't mention it, just forget about it. You don't owe me anything. And he continued to do this, and when he passed away, someone saw him in a dream and asked him, that ma fa'ala bik, that what did Allah subhanahu do with you? How did your meeting with Allah subhanahu go? And he says that Allah subhanahu made me stand in front of him, and Allah subhanahu opened the deeds, and you know, his book of deeds, and then Allah subhanahu says, al-madi la yudhkar. It's using the same words that he used, that the past is not mentioned, and then Allah subhanahu ordered the angels, intalaku bih, take him to Jannah. So this is a thing that we should try to, you know, submit or deposit good deeds in our bank accounts, and inshallah ta'ala, through those good deeds, Allah subhanahu will give us a good husn khatima, a good ending, and will forgive our sins. Wa akhiru da'wana an alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين وياك إن شاء الله